Thank you, Greg, for leading us in prayer a few moments ago. Appreciate that good prayer, brother. Thank you, Max, for leading us in song. And thank you, Alvin, for giving us the reading of the scripture there. And I'd like to encourage everyone to keep an open Bible this morning as we prepare to engage in talking about some things that the Bible says that we should always do. You see, when defined, the word always, it means evermore or all the time. And it implies doing something on every occasion without exception. So with the thought of always and what that means in our minds this morning, let's go to the Bible and let's take just a few moments to take a look at some things that the Bible says that we should always do. And let's begin there in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 1 and with this exhortation of Moses to God's people of old. And there in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and in verse 1, Moses exhorted God's people of old that they shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always. You see, here Moses is simply given an exhortation to God's people to love and obey the Lord. And as God's people today, we likewise need to be reminded of the need to love and obey the Lord always. And this exhortation that we find here in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 1, it reminds us of what God really wants out of us. It reminds us of what God really wants from us. You see, as we learn here, God, he wants our love and he wants our obedience. And did you know that our love for God, it will be manifested in our obedience to him? Did you know that? John reveals that fact to us there in 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 3. And there in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, John said, "For this is the love of God." What is that, John? That we keep God's commandments. And they are not burdensome. John tells us right there that our proof for our love for God, that it is proved when we obey him. John said, "This is the love of God, that you keep his commandments." And when we do that, it proves our love for God. You see, not only does true love for the Lord translate into obedience to him, but it likewise will never go against his will for us. That's why this exhortation in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1 goes along with the fact that we need to keep his charge. And by the way, that can simply be defined as keeping all that is to be kept in obedience to him. Keep his charge is literally means keep his keeping. That's what that means. His statutes, that can be in reference to things that he has prescribed. His judgments denotes his ordinances. And his commandments refers to his law and rules. And here we find the need to not only love the Lord our God, but the need to do all that he has said to do. And we must do that always. Not just some of the time, but always. You see that word always or always that we find there at the end of this exhortation? It simply means all the days. All the days. And knowing that we must not omit one day in loving the Lord our God and in keeping all that is to be kept in obedience to him. Remember that. Love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, his commandments always, every day. Don't let one day go by that you fail to love the Lord and to do all that he has said to do. Think about that. And always love the Lord your God. And always do all that he has said to do. But I also suggest to us this morning the need for us to always pray. There in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, we learn men ought to always pray and not lose heart. You see, prayer is the avenue we take to communicate with our Father in heaven. And it is a very important part of every Christian's life. It's important. In the context here of Luke chapter 18, we learn there in Luke 17 that Jesus had just described some very difficult things to his disciples. And after describing some of these difficult things to his disciples, he's now going to speak a couple of parables to them about the need to continue persistently, trustworthily, and humbly in prayer. And leading up to that, we learn there in Luke 18 and verse 1 that men ought to always pray and not lose heart. You see, we need to be mindful of that. We need to be mindful as followers of Jesus, the need to always maintain a consistent prayer life. We need to be consistent in praying. And we need to be mindful of the need to always give thanks to God for all things. We learn about that in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. We need to always go to God in prayer and give thanks to Him for all things. We need to always be ready to ask God for His help in times of need. We learn about the need to do that there in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. And we need to always be ready to go to God and let our requests be made known to Him. We learn about the need to do that there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Remember what Paul said there? He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Now watch it. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will surpass all your understanding. Think about that. Paul said, let your requests be made known to God. Knowing that the peace of God, it will guard your minds and hearts through Christ Jesus. See that? You see why we need to always be ready to go to God in prayer? We do. And we need to always trust in the power of God and in the power of prayer. Because prayer is powerful. We learn about the power of prayer there in James chapter 5 and verse number 16. Remember what James said there? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man will what? Avail much. Prayer is powerful. The God who we are praying to is powerful. And we need to be ever mindful of the power of our God and of the power of prayer. And we need to remember the need to pray always. Simply means we need to be consistent in our prayers. Jesus reminds his disciples of that fact not only there as we learn there in Luke 18, but also as he simply says there in Luke chapter 21 and in verse number 36. Remember what he said? Watch and what? Pray always. We need to be doing that, don't we? Paul understood the importance of that. That's why he reminded Christians to do that very thing there in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse number 18. And notice what Paul said there to do. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Remember that. And may we not always strive to love the Lord our God and to keep His word, the things that He has commanded, but we all also ought to always pray. And we also ought to always abound in the work of the Lord. Remember what Alvin just read for us a few moments ago there from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 58? What was that exhortation of the Apostle Paul to Christians? What did he say? Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's interesting to note that it has been said that the term always abounding that we find there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, that it carries the idea to be like water that overflows from the banks of a river and floods the surrounding area. Did you know that? Think about that for a moment. Let that marinate. Always abounding. Carrying that idea of like water that overflows the bank of the river and floods the surrounding area. Simply put, we need to not only be firmly fixed in doing the will of the Lord, but we also need to be diligent in promoting His glory, and we need to labor laboriously in spreading His gospel to others in hope of advancing the kingdom. We need to always abound in the work of the Lord. We must not be satisfied, brethren, with just doing a little. But we must always seek opportunities to do all that we can to glorify God and to advance His kingdom. Think about that. How you doing with that? Are you one who is always abounding in the work of the Lord? Are you? If not, you need to be. You need to be. And we need to be reminded of the fact that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Did you notice the last part of that verse there? What did Paul go on to say after he instructs Christians to always abound in the work of the Lord? What did he say? Knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Remember that. Know that your labor in the Lord, it will not go unnoticed by the Lord. It's not for nothing. It's not in vain. Remember that. And know that you will someday be rewarded for your labors in the Lord. Remember what Paul said there in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9. For in due season we shall what? Reap. If we do not what? Grow weary in doing good. Remember that. As you strive to labor in the work of the Lord. As you seek to always abound in the work of the Lord, know that your labors are not in vain and that someday the Lord will reward you for your labors. But I also suggest to us this morning another thing that the Bible says that we should always do, and that is we should be zealous in a good thing always. We learn about that there in Galatians chapter 4. And in verse number 18. And to set the context here, we learn here in verse number 17, and turn there with me if you will in your Bibles there to Galatians chapter 4. Let's just begin here in verse 17. Where Paul writes, they, and that's referring to those Judaizing teachers, they zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you, that you may be zealous for them. Verse 18. Paul says, but it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you. You see, here Paul, in the context, is warning the saints in Galatia about the Judaizing teachers who were zealously trying to win them over. And he tells them about their intent for those Christians. He tells them, they're zealously trying to court you or zealously trying to win you over, but for no good. He says, their zeal is not directed properly. And he also tells them that their intent for them was so that they may be zealous for them. And Paul's like, hold on a minute. He says, it is good to be zealous in a good thing. And what they're trying to do is not a good thing. You see, we need to be mindful of that. We need to be mindful of the fact that zeal is very commendable when it is directed properly. When I think about that, I can't help but to think about what Paul wrote there in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 2. In regard to Israel, remember what he said after he expressed his desire for them to be saved? He says there in verse 2 of Romans 10, "For I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." Again, here's Paul's making it clear about some who had a zeal for God, but their zeal wasn't properly directed. And he's reminding the Christians here in Galatians chapter 4 of the need to be zealous only in a good thing. When you think about being zealous in a good thing, what comes to your mind? What are some good things that come to your mind when you think about being zealous in a good thing? Do you think about being zealous for God? Do you think about being zealous for the will of God? Do you think about being zealous against immorality and error? What comes to your mind? Those are a few things that come to my mind when I think about zeal that is to be commended in a good way. Zeal that is directed toward God and His will. Zeal that is directed against immorality and error. And that kind of zeal that is directed in a good thing is something that should not just exist at certain times, but it is something that should always exist. Paul says here in Galatians 4 and in verse 18, be zealous in a good thing, not just some of the time, but always. Always. Remember that. Be consistent in being zealous in a good thing. Continue in that. And knowing that, may we all be zealous for good works, remembering that Christ gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. As we learned there in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14. And may we be ever mindful of the need to always seek to maintain good works. Remembering these words of Paul found there in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. And there Paul writes, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works." And notice why that's important. He says, "These things are good and profitable to men." Remember that. Be zealous for good works. Be careful to maintain good works. And always be zealous in a good thing. But another thing the Bible says we need to always do, and that is we need to rejoice always in the Lord. We learn about the need to do that there in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 4. And there Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Paul didn't say that we need to rejoice just once there, did he? Notice he said it, the need to rejoice in the Lord twice. You see, it has been said that the keynote of the epistle to the Philippians is rejoice. And to rejoice simply means to feel or show great joy or delight. And here Paul says that we need to rejoice, that is, show great joy or delight in the Lord always. Again, that word always includes times of disappointment as well as times of pleasure. Paul didn't say just rejoice in the Lord when things are going your way, when times are good. But he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, remember what that definition of always means? Evermore. And here Paul is telling us that as Christians, we need to always and rejoice in the Lord. And that's going to include in the good times and in the difficult times. To many, it probably seems impossible, doesn't it? To many, it probably seems impossible to rejoice always, doesn't it? But notice what Paul says. Notice where he says to rejoice. Where did he say to rejoice? In the Lord. When we do that, it doesn't make it impossible, does it? Doesn't make it impossible. Because those in the Lord have every reason to always rejoice, no matter what. Because they have the assured hope of eternal life. Think about that. You see, as Christians, we don't have to allow the trials of this life to blind us from all the blessings that come from the Lord. But rather, we can always rejoice in the Lord, knowing that no matter what comes our way in this life, we have that assured hope of eternal life. I don't know of any greater reason to rejoice than that, do you? But only those who are in the Lord have that hope. Think about that. And remember the need to rejoice in the Lord always. For as Paul simply put it there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, rejoice always. As Christians, we should always be filled with great joy and delight, shouldn't we? We should be the happiest people on earth because of the hope that we have. Because of the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 10. There's our reason to rejoice always in the Lord. But another thing Paul says that we need to do, as we learned there in Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 6. And that is, we need to let our speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each other. Simply put, the Apostle Paul is addressing the need to always speak appropriately here. He's telling us of the need to always choose our words carefully and to speak graciously. Let your speech, Paul says, always be with grace, seasoned with salt. It's interesting that the phrase seasoned with salt can denote the need to let our speech be flavored in a way that is palatable and easily received. You ever think about that? You ever think about what salt does? I don't know about you, but if you're like me, I like my salt shaker. I like my salt shaker. I know it's not good for me, but I like to add a little bit of salt onto my food. It makes it easier for me to receive that food. I like it. It tastes better. It adds flavor to it. And that's what Paul's talking about with our speech. The need to not only let our speech be with grace. That simply means, denotes the need for our speech to be gentle or with loving kindness. But not only should our speech be that way, but it should also be seasoned with salt. It should be in a way that is easily received by others. Simply put, we need to be one who always seeks to let our speech be appropriate. Now, again, when we think about speaking to others and answering others, that doesn't mean that we should never conceal the truth, does it? That doesn't mean that we should never conceal the truth or what is needed for them to hear, because there's going to be times where we're going to have to let our speech be firm and frank. But we need to be mindful of the need to do it gently. Let our speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. Do it gently and in a way that those that are hearing it will receive it. Remember that. And always strive to let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. But one more thing to share with you this morning that the Bible says we should always do. And that is found there in 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse number 15. And there Peter, writing to Christians, says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks your reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Simply put, a Christian should always know what they believe and why they believe it. And they should always be prepared to be asked about why they believe the way they do. And they should always be prepared to be able to inform those who ask about that hope that is within us, about the hope that we have. How about you? Are you prepared to give a defense for the reason for the hope that is within you if you were asked? Are you? Are you prepared? Are you ready to tell someone what you believe and why you believe it? And about the hope that you have? Are you ready to do that? Are you able to do that? You should be. Because here Peter says that we always need to be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks us the reason for the hope that is within us. And he goes on to tell us how to properly do that when he says, with meekness and fear. Simply put, that's the manner in which one is to answer such a question. With meekness and fear. Not with self-righteousness or haughtiness, but meekness and fear. In a way that is logical, reasonable, and in a way that is based on the will of God. In a way that is in a gentle and respectful fashion. Remember that, my beloved brethren. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks your reason for the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. Once more, I encourage us all to do these things we have discussed this morning always. Always. Maybe there is one here this morning who has not yet submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and His will, or about to sing a song of invitation and give one an opportunity to do that this very hour. For you have heard the word of God. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ. And you can be baptized into Christ this very hour. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins. And you can be raised up out of that watery grave to walk in a newness of life. And you too can have that hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. And may we all always remember the need to keep on keeping on. As we talked about earlier there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing that Jesus has promised the crown of life to those who remain faithful unto death. As we learned there in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and in verse number 10. Maybe there's one here this morning who has not been faithful. Maybe you've already submitted yourself in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. We plead with you this very hour to get your heart right with God. We plead with you this very hour to repent of your sins, confess them to God, and ask Him for His forgiveness. And if you'd like to enlist in the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning, you'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation. Whatever your need may be, once you let that need be made known now, we'll make your way toward the front. We'll stand and sing a song, Max is selected.